This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. Oh, my goodness. It is Wednesday. It's a wacky Wednesday. And I got to tell you something wacky. You know, I sit here in my studio at home and I look out the window and the garbage truck is just going by and it's flinging garbage into the great big dumpster end of this garbage truck. And I'm thinking to myself, and that's kind of what we do on Wacky Wednesday. We talk about all of the garbage stuff out there, you know? Just wish that there was some kind of a cultural garbage truck that could drive through our neighborhoods and collect all of the crazy stuff that we hear every day through social media and through the various other outlets that we have, you know, and dump them into the trash bin and take it off into the dumpster end of the truck and take it to the incinerator and get it all burned up. But we try to burn it up. That's what we try to do right here on Wacky Wednesdays. We talk about some of the silly things that we see going on everywhere. And we try to respond to those silly things with truth, right? We try to take the silly, put it through the prism of truth and come out with an accurate worldview. That's what we strive to do right here on Wacky Wednesdays. And to that end, we invite you to call us with your questions. I'm sure that you see some stuff, you know, driving through your neighborhood that you're thinking culturally that belongs in some kind of a cultural incinerator somewhere. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us today here on Women of Grace Live, where we talk about the wacky stuff on Wednesday, the weird and the wacky. It's all available to be discussed here on Women of Grace Live on Wednesday. So Sue is going to be with us right after our break, which is going to come sooner than later, let me tell you that. So I want to get to some other stuff, but don't forget, 833-288-EWTN or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. They're both available for you there. We have all kinds of wonderful things that are going on at Women of Grace. And, you know, I have here up on my computer screen our website. When you go to our website, the first thing that starts to happen is that you see our slideshow and it starts to scroll through a lot of the upcoming activities and things. First of all, I got to tell you, it's really pretty. So hats off to Thea, my daughter. She's the one who puts that together. It looks really, really pretty. All of that being said, you're going to see that we've got wonderful, wonderful opportunities for you that are coming up in the very, very near future. Want to mention a couple of them. Tomorrow, I am flying out of Birmingham, Alabama, to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm going to be at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church celebrating its feast day, which is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is on Friday. So Friday, I'm going to be right there in Fort Lauderdale, right on the canal, a canal that leads out to the Atlantic Ocean. That is where Heart of Jesus Catholic Church is located. It's absolutely beautiful grounds and beautiful property. But in addition to that, what's even more beautiful is the fact that Jesus is there, right? He's there in the Blessed Sacrament, and we are going to process with him at 11 a.m. in the morning on Friday. It's going to be followed, our procession will be followed by the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's a Maronite Rite church. I keep telling you that. If you've never attended a Maronite liturgy, I would really encourage you to do so. We're blessed here in our area in Birmingham that we have a Maronite Rite parish, St. Elias. Father Mitch is actually by ritual, which means he can celebrate both the Latin Rite Mass, the Novus Ordo, as well as the Maronite Mass. And it really is a wonderful, wonderful liturgy. So I would invite you to join us on Friday, June the 7th, there at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church. Following Mass, we're going to eat. And I got to tell you, I have it on very good authority that the food is going to be delicious. That was the adjective my daughter used. Delicious, Mom. It's delicious. So I'm excited about eating that delicious food after I partake of the food of heaven, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And following that, I'm going to be giving a talk, and the title of the talk is, what is the title of the talk? The title of the talk is The Virtuous Life, Living in the Heart of Jesus. I knew it had to do with virtues and heart of Jesus. I just wasn't sure the way in which that was ordered. It's The Virtuous Life, Living in the Heart of Jesus. And I was praying about the talk today, actually, and Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene gave me some great insight today. And I said, oh, Lord, thank you so very much. Now I see clearly what it is that you want me to present to the people. And I always ask him, I always tell him, I remind him, you know who's coming, I don't. You know what they need to hear, I don't. So you know what the topic is, right? And you know what the feast day is. It happens to be the feast day of your son, Father God. So please, through the power of the Holy Spirit, give me insight and wisdom to know what you would have me say to the people. And so I do believe that I started to get those intimations. They were more than intimations. I was pretty certain. I knew the direction I was supposed to go in. So I'm really excited about it. And that's one of the things that happens to me when I'm going to give a talk. I get very excited. It's sort of like a, I don't know what it is. I think it's the zeal of the Lord or something that strikes my heart. And, you know, I start to get pumped up, and then I'm ready to go. And it's like, oh, goodness, I can't wait for that moment to come because I know that the Holy Spirit is about to work. So anyway, all that being said, I get that way, too, every day when it's time for radio. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I just get all excited. And on Wednesdays, especially excited because Sue is with us. But all that being said, I'm inviting you to join us. Begins at 11 a.m. It ends at 2 p.m. So it's just 3 hours out of your day. But I'll tell you, I think that they're going to be absolutely wonderful moments that you will spend and we will spend together. So do come. June 11th, we have a morning of grace. And that morning of grace is on the theme of St. Joseph. St. Joseph, the protector of the Holy Church. And we're going to be talking all about St. Joseph. Do come. This is a free event. It's online. You can sign up for it. It is going to take place on Tuesday morning, June the 11th, at 10:30 a.m. to noon. And you'll be able to just be in the comfort of your own home and participate in this beautiful, beautiful morning of grace. That morning of grace is repeated June the 13th in an evening of grace. Same theme, St. Joseph, the protector of the Holy Church. I want you to get out there and to take a look. See what's going on. Join us for this opportunity. It will take place on June the 13th in the evening, as I mentioned, from 7 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. All of the times that I'm giving to you are Eastern times. So, you know, adjust according to your time zone. So all that being said, it's free of charge. Wonderful regional coordinators present these mornings of grace and evenings of grace online. And, you know, they tell me that even though this is electronic communications, there is a very powerful sense of intimacy that goes on. And that seems to be a hallmark of what takes place at our Women of Grace events. So do join us. Dip your toe into the water of Women of Grace if you haven't. This is a great way to check it out. But if you are one who comes to all of these, of course, we want you to come and we will be eager to spend that time with you. Do want to let you know later on in the month. Oh my goodness, I am so excited. I'm doing a little happy dance. If you're out there on social media, you can see me doing a little happy dance in my chair here. Very excited. It's time for our annual retreat at Malvern Retreat House. June 27th kicks it off with the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar being presented by Chris McGregor, Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. Can't wait, can't wait. In addition to that, June 28th is when the retreat itself begins. It starts around 6 in the evening. We eat first and then we gather together and it's just beautiful. And the theme is Divine Mercy. And that's Divine Mercy. Crucible of New Life. I am so excited. Father Ken Geraci back with us again this year. Ladies, you wanted him. We're bringing him. So we're hoping that you're going to show up for him. And I'll be presenting on the Crucible of New Life end of things. So will he. And Chris McGregor is going to be talking about the mysticism of St. Faustina. It's going to be great. So we're looking forward to being with you there. On the other side of the break, Sue Brinkman, Wacky Wednesday. Stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. That music lets you know that it's Wednesday. It's Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. We talk about the weird and the wacky on Wacky Tuesday. So we invite you to call us with, you know, your questions about some things that you see going on. Or if you have questions about, well, why isn't this okay with the church? We'll tell you why. We want to talk about it with you today. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you to use. Matthew Gubensky is going to answer your call and get you up on the board for us so we can address your question or your comment. If you are a first-time caller, we sure do want to know about it because I have three bells sitting here. I'll pick one of them up and ring it to welcome you for your debut to the show. It's one of the fun little things that we do here on Women of Grace. In addition to that, we're available for you out there in social media land. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you there. I strongly encourage you to use the chat feature. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And Michael McCall will go out and he'll retrieve it. And he'll put it up there. You've been very quiet out there, although we did have a few that came in this week. But I really love hearing from you. So please do get your question up there so we can get it retrieved and you can get it answered. We're here for that purpose today. And we are here for you Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station. And then, of course, in studio there, making it happen, making it all go forward is Rich Jesse, who is our producer. And we've got the TOC department that keeps things working with those satellites. However they do that, it's a mystery to me. You know, it's a total mystery to me, but I don't have to understand the mystery to be able to benefit by it. So I really enjoy it. And I hope that you do too. Hey, Sue, how you doing?
Oh, doing just wonderful on this Wacky Wednesday.
That is wacky, look wonderful.
All right, that's for sure.
Well, you know what? We have fun on this day, you know, and we do, I think, make it possible for people to get a lot of crazy questions answered. But, you know, I'm very excited about our upcoming Malvern retreat. I was sharing with everybody about it prior. And you're going to be there, and it's just going to be wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. It always is. Every year it is. But Father Geraci, I'm so happy that we got him back because it is so – his healing service was so powerful last year. It just was, it was worth the whole retreat with that, was that healing service from him. And it just, if you have injuries, if you have inner wounds, boy, I'll tell you what, this is the place to go. We're going to learn all about divine mercy and unpack that in a way you probably haven't even heard before. And especially if you are devoted to Saint Faustina and the divine mercy, as so many of us are, you're still, there's so much to learn. It's almost unfathomable how deep these teachings are. And I think that it's going to be very beneficial for everybody at this year's retreat. And to get Father Geraci back was a real blessing from God.
Well, I'm so excited about it. And I have to tell you, you know, interestingly enough, I interviewed him. I think it was the week before last. It was in the recent past. And we were talking, he and I were talking about the retreat last year, too. And I said, oh, Father, are you going to repeat, you know, that the healing service, because that's the way that he usually conducts them. And he said, oh, yes, Johnette. It was outrageous. And, you know, through the years, we've been going up, and I shared with our listeners through the other day, you know, we've been going up to Malvern since, I think, 2006. We've only missed 2 years, one because of COVID and one because of scheduling difficulties and struggles that we were having. But all that being said, that's it. We've been up there so for all of those very, very many years. And that being said, we've experienced tremendous blessings in our healing services. We've seen people set free of all kinds of things. We've seen people healed of all kinds of things. We've seen physical healings happen, emotional healings happen. We've seen, you know, great spiritual healings happen. And as I say, we've seen deliverances that have taken place there. Mm-hmm. Just incredible kinds of things that have gone on. Last year, though, was something special. It was in its own kind of a category of what happened there. And, you know, I had a front row seat there, and I was watching these women come forward, and I could see what they looked like when they walked up. I could see what they looked like when they went back to their seats, and there was a tremendous transformation. So as you say, you know, the Holy Spirit does come, and he comes in power when he has an open vessel, and Father Geraci is certainly that. We try to provide that as well. And so it's going to be a spectacular time. And you are right about that topic. And here we are. We talk about the weird and the wacky today. And one of the things that Father is going to be really emphasizing is the divine mercy in light of spiritual warfare. And, you know, we know that there are aspects of it in the diary that deal with that. But it's not typically what is stressed, but we're going to stress it because Father is firmly convinced that this is God's last hurrah for his people in the sense of giving us some time. We're in this time of mercy and we have to take advantage of it. And so the graces that are pouring out are outrageously efficacious. So I can tell you, this is going to be just a very, very powerful event. So if you can get there, you know, we're encouraging you, sign up, join us for the Benedicta. Last year, Sue, you conducted that. It was absolutely exquisite. The format that you gave us was really a Carmelite format. We're going to be following that same format this year with Chris McGregor. Both the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar that you presented last year, as well as this one, is one credit towards a certification in Catholic Women's Leadership that will come by way of our Benedicta Institute for Women. I encourage you to get out there, friends, and to read about the Benedicta Institute at our website. It explains the whole thing for you. You're going to get the credit whether you intend to get a certification or not. It's just part of what a benefit, basically, that we're giving to you. But the real benefit is going to come by way of what you hear. So it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful time. So we do want you to call here today, though, with your weird and wacky, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And just to tie this a bow around this little package that we're sharing about here, Sue, I want to let everybody know that we're going to have an online Women of Grace immersive that will be the required course for the Carmelite core theme of our Catholic Women's Leadership Program. It'll be presented by Dr. Donald Wallenfang. It's called The Essentials of Carmelite Spirituality. That is going to be running from July the 8th to August the 11th. All of the information available for you at our website. We're looking forward to having you join us for this beautiful, beautiful event. If it's only for spiritual enrichment, but you know what? You're going to get the credits, and who knows how the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you. You just might end up with that certification. Of course, you can enroll in the certification program as well. So there you have it. But you got some stuff for us, Sue. I mean, just when you think, you know, I say this every week, when you think it can't get wackier, it does. And it's wackier today. We have women beating the ground with sticks.
That's absolutely, I mean, I couldn't believe this when I read it. And I laugh at this stuff. I'm not laughing at the people.
No.
I'm just laughing because if you don't laugh, you'll go crazy. That's the way I look at it. You've got to find some humor in this stuff. These are known as rage rituals, and they're becoming the big deal, especially with
women. They're becoming
women.
The big rage?
they're all the rage, a rage ritual. It's particularly among women now. This is a way to vent your anger and your frustration. And what you do is you come together using a remote place, like out in the woods somewhere, and you're encouraged to think about people or experiences that have wronged you, and to scream at the top of your lungs and swing sticks for at least 20 minutes or until you can no longer move your arms. You are to beat the ground with these sticks while screaming. And this is supposedly going to help to relieve your inner rage. Now, it was developed by, big surprise here, a woman by the name of Mia Banducci, also known as Mia Magic. She's a self-proclaimed intuitive witch. And she began hosting these ceremonies for friends several years ago when they became popular, and they morphed into overnight retreats, costing up to $4,000.
Oh, my heavens.
Now, Banducci, who likes to run around she runs around in a witch hat. She refers to herself on her website as an ambassador for the ancient magical way returning home to our modern day. What does that even mean? I don't know. But this is one of her missions, is to reawaken in all of us the power of the feminine divine nature so that we can reconnect with the unconditionally loving great mother goddess on our planet. So people wonder why I'm silly. When you have to read stuff like this all day long, it makes anybody silly. Like, what is that? What is she saying?
I just marvel that you keep your sanity. But, you know, this reminds me of some of the stuff that went on years ago, frankly. You know, and I'm thinking about a book that was written years ago, and I might have first read about this in this book. I'm not really sure. But Donna Steichen wrote a book called Ungodly Rage, The Hidden Face of Catholic Feminism. And there was a lot of this that was going on. And then I think in the Human Potential Movement, there were some, you know, and I don't want to say it was Werner Erhard. I'm going to say that. It might not be right. So somebody can fact check me on that. But there were those kinds of same activities where, you know, you went out and you worked out. And generally speaking, especially with the women who were the witchy women, You know, they would go out there and get naked before the moon and do these kinds of strange things. And then, you know, there were some similar kinds of things that were done with men's groups as well. So this is, you know, what we see is that there's always a refashioning of the old, you know?
Yes, but, yes.
You know, do you remember even in therapy, they would tell people to go into a room and just scream and throw things? And there was a period of time when they would say, you know, just if you and your spouse have to work something out, just get together with pillows and beat each other with the pillows.
I don't know
what to say exactly.
They get paid for that kind of advice.
They do.
Actually,
big money.
That's actually, you know what? That's a throwback. This whole rage ritual thing, I'm so glad you're bringing this up. It's a throwback to the primal scream therapy.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Back in the 60s, right? Remember John Lennon and Yoko Ono were, you know, they were, Arthur Janov was the psychotherapist that he treated Lennon and Ono. And he believed that psychological neurosis in adulthood was a result of repressed childhood trauma. And we refer to this trauma as primal pain. And if you regress back to the source of that pain and dealt with it, such as crying and screaming, under the guidance of a therapist now, the person could find relief. However, in modern day, that has been disproven. Professor Sascha Fruholtz of the Department of Psychology, University of Zurich, said everything about Jana's scream therapy just doesn't add up. She said primal scream therapy rests on the partly wrong assumption that traumatic early life events are stored as mental and bodily complexes like a prison that can only be resolved by busting out during screaming. But there's no scientific evidence for that. There really isn't any. And they're not seeing in their research that it actually helps. I mean, you might have a temporary reprieve when you're thinking about someone who hurts you and you go out there and bang sticks on the ground and scream at the top of your lungs. You might have a temporary little shot of dopamine maybe going through your body just from the exertion of that. But does it really help you? Does it really heal you? And then I compare that to what happened when we went in the retreat last year at Malvern with Father Geraci and that healing. Now you take your rage into that kind of a setting, now you're kneeling down in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and there's someone who can heal your rage, not just give you a temporary reprieve from it while you're screaming and beating the ground with sticks. Mm-hmm. So you could see the difference in that. And ours doesn't cost $4,000. I mean, it costs nothing compared to that. And people are going, they're actually going as far away, Johnette, as France to go to these healing rituals. We're being run by witches and psychic mediums in that. I mean, this is where you want to put that kind of rage and inner woundedness. You want to put it in the hands of these people who are self-made. How do you know where they came from and what powers they're relying upon? The whole thing to me is very dangerous. It's very silly, but it's also very dangerous. And people say that this whole thing about going out there and screaming in a rage ritual, that's not the way most people are going to get over their rage. In fact, psychotherapists today say it could exacerbate the anger. It could actually exacerbate it and make it worse.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful about, you know, going out there and doing these things with people who are uncredentialed, who are not psychotherapists, who haven't really studied any of these things. They just kind of made it up and put on a witch hat, called themselves an intuitive witch, went on to TikTok, and before you know it, it's all over the place. And now everybody's doing it.
And they're raking in big bucks on people's vulnerability. And, you know, that is really the what do I want to call it? That's the pebble in the shoe. That you know, that's the burr under the skin that really irritates, is you've got vulnerable people and yes, you are making money on their vulnerability. And you don't know what these people that are leading these events, as you're indicating it, but they're messing around with things. They're messing around with powers and principalities, and you're opening yourself up for that. Now, I think that therapy can be very helpful. I do think that there is such a thing as, you know, a lot of situations and circumstances that have caused wounding to the heart that we can suppress, that, you know, oftentimes we don't deal with, and it comes out sideways. It comes out in our adult life, behaviors that can be antisocial or can be personally harmful, such as addiction. But in addition to that, just an inability to really communicate well with others or to function well in a group setting. We often find that we overreact to situations and circumstances, and sometimes that's related to a wound in the heart. And psychotherapy can help to expose it. But I will say this, psychotherapy in and of itself cannot heal it. It's one thing to discover why it is that we do what we do. It's another thing to take care of the cause, and that can only be taken care of by our Lord Jesus Christ. That can only be taken care of by inner healing. And most psychotherapists will tell you that the case is, yes, we can help you understand, but that's not going to take care of it. You know, we can even give you a behavior modification to change your behavior, but that's not going to really heal the wound. You know, that it's important to reveal it, but to heal it, you got to go to the healer. And that is our Lord. And I think that's what you're saying.
And a lot of that, you know where that happens? Is in confession.
Yes.
Because when you go in there, Jesus reveals to you not just your sin. He reveals to you why you committed that sin. And many times, John, isn't it true that it's because of a wound in our life? And all of a sudden, he opens your eyes to that wound. That's the first step toward healing right there. Is to recognize it and say, oh, yeah, that did happen to me. And I was raised that way. And, oh, now I understand why I'm doing these things. And just that understanding and that inflow of him, of that forgiveness, and it's also self-forgiveness, because you now are forgiving yourself. You're realizing, oh, I have a reason why I'm doing this.
That's right.
And it's not because I'm some evil being. It's because I'm wounded. And so much of that healing takes place under those conditions there, especially when you go into confession and Jesus reveals your sin to you.
That's right.
Well, always for a good reason.
Yeah. And I forget who it was. I don't know if it was, Jesus himself said, that he came for the brokenhearted, right? And that one of the popes, it might have been John Paul II, I'm not really sure, said it called the church a hospital. And confession is the triage center. You know, of that hospital. And that is where so much of it takes place. And it's good that you pointed that out. And the thing of it is, this whole thing, you can look at a wound and say, well, this is why I behave like I am and I can't help it. Or you can say, this is why I behave like I behave, but I can help it through the power of Jesus Christ, and he can heal me. When we come back, I want to get to Mark. He's in St. Louis, Missouri, listening to us via Covenant Radio Network. And Christine is with us, and you can be with us too. We're going to get to everybody. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Let us know if you're a first-timer. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page also available for you. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We're having a conversation today with Sue Brinkman, so you know it's wacky and weird. That's what we do on Wednesdays. It is Wacky Wednesday. We take your questions about all kinds of unusual things that you see going on, and we try to resolve them for you to the best that we can, and when we can't, we do the research to try to get back to you on it. Do give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's the toll-free number for you. Right here in North America, we invite you to use it. If you're a first-time caller, please do let us know. We will ring our bell to welcome you to your debut. I'm going to be ringing that for Christine in just a minute or two. In addition to all of that, certainly do want to let you know that we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. If you have a question, and it's after hours here, we're not on the air anymore, right? Or it's the middle of the night, and you've got a burning question you want to ask Sue Brinkman, you can call us on our listener comment line. That's 205-795-5773. Again, 205-795-5773. Say, this is a question for Johnette and Sue on Wacky Wednesday, or this is a Wacky Wednesday question. Just identify it in some way. And then Rich retrieves all of that. He'll put them together and we'll get to them on the air on a Wednesday. If you have questions about any other matter, though, that I can resolve for you as well out there, just use Monday through Friday. just go ahead and leave a question for me and I'll address it on the air as well. So we look forward to hearing from you. Phone lines are lighting up. Let me give you that number again, 833-288-EWTN. Well, it looks like we're going to get to Christine first, and Christine is our first time caller. She is there in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Holy Family Radio is the way that she's listening to us today, and we're happy to have you, Christine.
Hello.
Hello.
Jeanette, I was listening, and what it brought to mind, the gal who talked about rage.
Yes.
When my mom was raising five kids, and I told the gentleman, when she was raising five kids and she was upset about something, she would make bread. And I'll tell you, there are times when we had the best bread, because when you had to knead that bread, and she was, kneading it. And then it occurred to me that we are blessed here in Kalamazoo that we have a trauma recovery program where you can meet with other people who were victims of trauma, and you don't really talk about trauma, but you pray with them and you learn ways to cope. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that would be so beneficial, for people if they had that kind of a program in their area.
Well, Christine, I think so. I think that what you're sharing is very important for two reasons. One, I want to talk about your mother and her bread making. I had an aunt, and every time she would get upset, she would get the vacuum sweeper out. So, when we're angry or we're frustrated, or we're dealing with really big problems and we don't know how to solve them, just the way in which the human body works, we produce a lot of energy. And sometimes these are very good ways to get to take care of the energy. I have friends who, were great runners, and they would run, they'd go out and run to get rid of the energy, not to resolve the issue, but to get rid of that energy and to help them think clearly. Because when we get ourselves all wound up, we don't think clearly. So I think that there's a benefit in that, but it's quite different than going out there and beating the ground with sticks, thinking that that in and of itself is going to bring you healing. So your mother learned the best way to cope with her stress. We all have to learn how to do that because we live in a stressful time. There's no question about that. But, groups that group therapy in a sense that works with people that are suffering with trauma or even people that are suffering with long-term or chronic illnesses. And, we know about bereavement groups. I think that they can be very, very beneficial as long as it doesn't become a substitute for seeking the ultimate healing. And it seems as though what you're describing is a both and. So there is that prayer portion that really, opens the door to the grace that God wants us to receive to bring us to that point of total freedom from what the trauma has caused.
Yes.
Yep. Excellent. Sue, do you want to comment to Christine?
Pardon me?
No, I'm saying, Sue, wait, you're muted, Sue. I can't hear you.
Hang on a minute. Let me see.
There you go.
I'm back on? Okay. I was wondering, what do I do when I get mad? One of the first things I do, I always pray. And I will tell him, right, like he doesn't already know. I will say, Lord, I'm really upset right now. And I start out with that, but I pace. I walk. I have to walk. I can't sit still when I'm angry. I have to get up and walk and walk and walk and walk. So that's one way of doing it. But I was thinking about your story about the vacuum cleaner, Christine's story about the bread. And I thought, now this is like very productive things to do with anger. And everybody benefits. You have a clean house. You have delicious bread to eat. That is what I'm going to start doing when I get angry. Forget about the pacing. I'm going to get out the vacuum cleaner or start dusting or something like that. I'm going to do it. I'm not very good at bread baking. But maybe I'll learn. Maybe I'll learn. But Christine, that was really a great thing to tell us, because it's a very productive way to deal with your anger. It really is better than beating the ground with sticks and screaming.
Well, Christine, thank you so very, very much. I think that we're going to have a lot of bread bakers out there. Sue, at least giving it a try, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness sakes. It's so funny. Let's get to Sylvia in San Antonio, Texas, and then we're going to go to Mark. So hang in there, Mark. Hang in there for us. And Sylvia is listening via Guadalupe Radio Network. Good morning to you, Sylvia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. So I'm listening that today is the Wacky Wednesday.
Yes.
And I have a question because so I'm a hairstylist and I open like a bigger salon. So I want my sister to be with me. but she is very into those things, like superstitions. Oh. She goes to get her car read. So in the past, we were together, it didn't work. So my husband say it's not going to work because she's still with those things, but I really want to help her. And I don't want to feel like I'm the bad person in the family, like I'm not helping her. But she, like, I don't want those things in the salon.
Mm. Yeah. Why didn't it work before, Sylvia?
Why didn't it work?
Why didn't it work before? Was it because of her involvement in these things?
Yeah, because, like, in the, like, before it was the same. Like, she had all, like, I told her, I'm going to come. Before it was, like, I have my salon, she has her salon, but I say, okay, I'm going to go and help you. Back then she had the bigger salon, so I go with her, but like the whole place, it was like eggs on the corner, garlic over there,
and
it was sweet.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like all these superstitions. And the thing is that I was like that before, but I had a conversion in 2018 when I went to a spiritual retreat, and praise God, like, I mean, he saved me from so many bad things that I used to do. And so my family is still with those beliefs because I'm from Mexico, and in Mexico is very strong, those beliefs. And I tell them, I say, I know they're not bad person. I know they're just living in ignorance, because when I used to go to those places, they, of course, they have the Bible there. They have the Virgin. Mm-hmm. So when you go there, they send you home, oh, pray the psalm and do this, and Psalm 91, you know, like, so you don't think that's bad because they're telling you those things. But now that, God opened my eyes, it's so different, because we used to go, like, the first Friday of the month for good luck. And it was, like, mm-hmm. everything it was for good luck, or to have the rich husband or whatever. But now, I see how the opposite. Like, now I go to church the first Friday to repair Jesus' heart. And then the first time, you know, like, how everything, like, these people mix a little bit of the Catholic.
Yes.
If
I can interject here, Sylvia, you know, that's a heresy. It's called syncretism. When mm-hmm. we combine mm-hmm. all of these different kinds of spiritualities, and there's a lot of Catholics today that do that kind of stuff, and that's not okay. But Sue, how would you advise Sylvia?
Well, I think that this is a very good question from her, and she's right to be concerned, because in a mm-hmm. way she's actually allowing her sister to continue to participate in that. If she lets her sister come into this salon and work with her and spread these things perhaps to other people. So this is a very important thing, Sylvia. I think what you're doing is very, very important. You're asking these questions. They're right questions to ask. But here's a suggestion that I would make. It's your place now. It's not like before when you were in her salon. Now she's in your salon. Is it possible that you could sit down with her and have a nice, you know, loving chat with her to say, I really don't want these things. I want you in here, but I don't want these things, you know, being spread to any of my clientele. You know, in a way to get her to try to respect your religious beliefs and just say, you know, could you just please be mindful of the fact that I am a practicing Catholic now. This is very important to me, my faith. Is it possible to have that kind of discussion with her?
In January, because that's when I talk to the landlords and get the place. And the funny thing, this is the place that she was before 2 years ago, but she didn't work, she didn't. And that's the thing. Like, she keeps going to these people to get her future, and everybody's telling her, "Oh yeah, the salon didn't work because everybody envy you." And I'm like, "Nobody envy you. It's because you don't work. You are not committed. Like, that's why it didn't work." So
okay.
Back in January, I told her, I say, "You are more than welcome. I want to help you. Like, we can be successful." I say, "But I don't want." I want, if you still believe in that thing, I respect that, but leave it in your house. And as soon as mm-hmm. I say that, I think she got offended, and she say, I don't want any salon. I'm going to open another business. And she did. She opened something to sell, like, snacks. 3 months, it didn't work. Now she wants a salon because now she see that I'm being, like, successful. And I feel bad because every time she's talking to me and she's talking like she doesn't have this, she doesn't. So it makes me feel bad, like I need to help her. I do want to help her, but I don't want those things there.
Well, Sylvia, let me just, you know, just two things. Just for an objective perspective as opposed to the subjective. She's your sister and you care about her and you love her and you want the best for her. And that's right thinking. But, you know, objectively, if you knew, if there was someone who was not your sister, somebody that was not related to you that came to you and you knew all this about them, would you hire them? It sounds to me like she's got a lot of, right, exactly. So there is that. You wouldn't hire someone like that. Number two, you know, you would hope that she would put together that maybe one of the reasons why she's not being very successful has more to do with her and her superstitious practices than it has to do with just, you know, all of these other excuses that are being made up to be blamed for her lack of success. But, you know, just on the face of it, she's not a good employee. She doesn't want to respect the employer's wishes. You clearly laid those out in January, and she said she was not interested in that. She got huffy about it, and you thought you hurt her feelings. Second of all, you know, she's not necessarily reliable. She doesn't want to work. So what does that do to you as an employer? They're you know, your offer stands to her. If she gets herself together, that's another matter. But, you know, I don't think that, you know, and I understand that there's always that pull, P-U-L-L, because you, she is your sister and you do love her and you do care about her. But by the same token, as Sue says, you know, to allow her to continue with the same behaviors and still try to make a way for her is really enabling the behavior. And so there, you know, I think that what you're trying to do is to help her to see that, look, here's the situation. Here are the areas where you need to look and say, why am I having trouble? Well, it could be related to what you're involved in. Number two, it could be that your work ethic isn't very strong. You know, you're not working your job. That could have something to do with it. She won't be happy about that. But, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in a position like that. So, I mean, if you objectively wouldn't hire her because of certain conditions, then I'm not so sure subjectively that it's a good idea either. I don't know, Sue, do I sound like I'm being really hard?
No, you don't. And the thought that's coming to my mind as I listen to your speech on it is that Sylvia needs to be very careful about letting herself be consumed with this guilt and this feeling that
that's
she has to help her, because that's being played upon her by the other side. He wants her to do that, to make you feel bad, to harass you about it. Why? So that he can continue to work through this person, because he is, whether we want to, you know, accept that or not, just to face that or not about your sister, because I'm sure you love her, but she is involved in the occult and in superstitious type practices that are not healthy for herself or for your clientele. And he's going to be sitting in the background saying, oh, you hurt your sister. You know, you've done this, that, and the other thing with your, and you should be helping her. He's the one who could be putting that into your mind. You need to sit down in prayer with Jesus and talk to Jesus and ask him to give you the strength to love the way he loves, which is selflessly. It doesn't matter how you're going to feel about it. You're going to do what's best for your sister. And what's best for your sister is that she be corrected in these activities. That's the most loving thing you really can do for your sister right now, Sylvia, is to correct her, not to allow her and to enable her to continue in this behavior. That's what my thought is. Pray against that spirit that's going to try to do that and go to Jesus with that. He'll help you.
Yeah. Absolutely, Sylvia. So I think that, you know, I think that your question is a good question. I think a lot of people struggle, if not in this specific way, but they do struggle with those kinds of emotions and feelings, Sue, you know, running between, oh my gosh, I know that this isn't a good thing, but I feel so bad for this person over here and I really want to help. But oftentimes that help is not help at all. It's enabling. And we got to look at ourselves too, because sometimes that tendency to enable, you know, comes from a certain kind of insecurity in ourselves. You know, I'm thinking specifically about, you know, the fact that you were, you know, that she held you accountable the last time and, you know, and maybe family members did too. But the fact of the matter is, it's not your job to make a way for these kinds of behaviors. So I hope that helps you, Sylvia. Thank you so very, very much for your call today. Sue, apparently Mark couldn't hold on. He was calling from Covenant Radio out there in St. Louis, Missouri. Glad he's listening to us. I hope you're still listening, Mark. He had a question about psychics. So if you, we still have a little bit of time here, Mark, so you can call us back if you have a question. But Sue, psychics in general, we don't ascribe to psychics, correct?
No, absolutely not. Psychics can be either a clairvoyant, meaning they see pictures in their mind. They can be either a clairaudient, meaning they hear things, or a clairsentient, which means they feel things. Psychics and psychic activity such as that is often being used by Satan. Satan is telling the psychic certain things. They very often are mediums. They serve as mediums for other spirits, which of course would be demons. They like to pretend that they're channeling people, deceased people, and that sort of thing. So, you know, we need to always stay away from psychics. Way back when I was into the New Age, I was going to a psychic because a psychic would tell me exactly what I wanted to hear. You know, a lot of them are just con artists, and they do what this particular psychic did for me. She just told me what I wanted to hear. Yes, you're going to get married. You're going to have 3 children, blah, 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 blah. I mean, she told me everything I wanted. And, you know, I would keep coming back and coming back and coming back. That's where I had my astrology, where my natal chart was done, is through this psychic. So you have to be really careful about staying away from them and their psychic energy, so to speak, because more than likely they are in cahoots with the devil, whether they believe that or not. It doesn't matter what they think. They are, right? They are.
Yeah, so. And you know what? Let me just say this too. Just something that you're saying there takes me back to Sylvia's question and situation. You know, if her sister is really involved in all of these kinds of things, then her sister's very presence in her workplace is going to be impacted by these various kinds of entities that she's messing around with.
That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid of the fact that she is, I don't know what she's doing. If she's calling down certain spirits to protect you, which is often a part of superstition, when you put different amulets and stuff around the place, you're calling upon a power to protect you. Who is that power? What is that power? It's not God. It isn't the Lord. So who are you calling down? And so you're bringing that into your shop. What bothered me, perhaps even more than that, was the people who would be influenced by it. Mm-hmm. She might talk somebody into that. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you know, use this hand, whatever, the Hamsa hand. Use a Hamsa hand, and that'll protect you against the evil eye and people who want to curse you. And they'll get you started in believing in these things. This is what can happen. Because you know what we do when we're sitting in the chair getting our hair done? We sit and gab. Mm-hmm. We gab the whole time. It's the perfect environment to spread this stuff. If you think about it, mm-hmm. It's the perfect environment to do that, because all we're doing is there is sitting and gabbing the whole time we're having our hair done. So I think it was, but Sylvia's asking some good questions, and she should be asking questions like that. You know, what should I do? Especially that she's being so tormented by the fact that, oh, I should be helping her. She's my sister. Well, yeah, but not when your sister's doing something that could potentially destroy her soul and ruin her chances for eternal life with Jesus. Then you've got to draw the line there, and you've got to say to yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth helping her now? Maybe she won't like me in this life, but she will definitely thank me for it later.
Sometimes it's tough love. Yeah, and you know what? And that what you're saying there is very, very important. You know, and it's interesting because Jack made mention of that. This was the first Monday of the month, this past Monday, so we did Monthly Marriage Monday, and you know, he was making a connection to the homily that we heard this past weekend, which was a very good homily given to us by our pastor, and he was talking about the fact, you know, oftentimes we just go along to get along, right? We go along to get along. So, you know, and he was using the example. So, you know, our daughter wants to get married on the beach. Okay, well then, I know it can't be the sacrament of matrimony, but it'll make her happy. I'll just go along with this. And he was saying, you know, we've got to stand up for Jesus. And sometimes that's really hard, especially when you do have to deliver a hard message, like Sylvia might have to do, or what we have to do when we see somebody that's going down a path of perdition, and we know that this is wrong. We know that it's against the teachings of the church. We know it's against sacred scripture. We know it's an offense to God. But, you know, we just accept it. I'm thinking about some of the issues that we face in our culture today, transgenderism, for example, you know, homosexual relationships, and we just, we find an excuse for it, you know, or we allow ourselves to be, you know, victims of pandering. And you know, we have to speak the truth. We have to speak it in love. And what's the loving motivation there? Their eternal salvation. We have to love them enough to love them toward eternal life, not to give them what they think they want in this life. And that's not easy. I mean, you know, martyrs died at the stake for things like that. We might not die at the stake for things like that, but we could die social respect. We could die, you know, from family approval. You know, we could die that the relationship could die. But that's our call, right?
Absolutely, that's our call. We have to resist human respect.
That's right. It's a hard thing. Well, Sue, as always, it's been wonderful being with you today. And friends, it's lovely being with you Monday through Friday. Do want you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Our New Age blog is there for you. Over 1,700 questions and answers given to us by Sue Brinkman on questions just like you heard on radio today. So get out there and access it. You can look for a particular theme or a particular topic. Things are alphabetically arranged as well. Very easy for you to find the information you need. Also, too, Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness, a podcast that Sue does, located in the library section of our website. So get out there, take advantage of all of it. God wants to use you to be a purveyor of truth in the world today. God bless you now. Bye-bye.